I'm so thankful that Curtis is training up disciples in our music ministry. And you know, every ministry in our church, we need to be thinking about training people to serve with us. And you never know if the Lord takes us home or moves us on. We surely don't want to leave a hole. And so it's a good thing to be training people to serve with us. I can't wait till the day we can have a whole bunch of musicians up here. An orchestra. That'd be great. Well, I'm very thankful for Brother Justin preaching. I haven't finished it yet, but I've listened to most of his message on the discipline of daily confession of sin. And he preached on personal and private confession to God. And none of us here, do we like to dwell on the ways that we have failed God and others, or sinned against God and others. Yet the Bible teaches that by confessing our sins, both privately and in public, it's vital to keeping our spiritual passion alive. It is vital. It is a scriptural thing for us to do. Unfortunately, most of us, we like to gloss over our own sins. And we like to focus on the sins of others around us. You know, even Jesus in Matthew 7, he warned about that hypocritical judgment. He said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And it was in the context of hypocrisy. And he said, you know, I'm just going to turn over there and just read a couple of verses in Matthew 7. That's not our text tonight, but I like what Jesus said there in that Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" You know, the mote is a little small speck of dust. And he said, why are you so concerned about that little sin in your brother's eye when you've got a beam, a big old 4x4 beam sticking out of your own eye? How will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so he speaks to us about, you know, hypocrisy of judging other people's sin and not confessing and judging our own sin. Martin Luther, when he wrote the 95 Theses and posted it there on that church door protesting the Catholic Church, the first of those 95 Theses said, "The entire Christian life is to be one of repentance." Think about that one. And it is true. How do we begin the Christian life? We repent and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end there. It's something that continues throughout our Christian life. And not only do we like to avoid mentioning sins in public, but we likely do not spend enough time reflecting on them in private. And I know Brother Justin challenged you to do that, to think about your three favorite sins and to meditate on them and see how the Lord leads in that. I hope you've done that exercise. You know, if you don't apply any of these things, it's not going to do you any good. But it will help you ignite your passion for God. If you're hanging on sin and you're not confessing that sin, then it's going to extinguish your passion. And so tonight, I'm not going to re-preach his topic, but I am going to preach on another aspect of confession of sin. I'm going to be preaching tonight on prayers of corporate confession of sin. And I realize that that's, for our church, That's like, what? What is that? We'll be looking at the scriptures in just a moment, but I want to just give a quote from this Jonathan Gibson. He wrote a book about called Reformation Worship Liturgies from the Past and Present. It wasn't just about the Reformation, people of Reformation faith. We're not reformers, but he's just talking about history of churches in the past and in the present. And this is what he said. He said, for most churches in our day, corporate prayer has been left behind. Yet for centuries, local churches have prayed not only public prayers of praise, thanks, and request, but also prayers of confession. I would say that probably few of us have been in a church service where there was a corporate prayer of confession, where the pastor led in a corporate prayer of confession. I'm sure some of us may have. We may not realize what was taking place when that prayer was being prayed. And I don't want you to get nervous, because we're not talking about an open mic confessional tonight. We're not talking about personal sins. We're not talking about you coming up and confessing personal sins to the church. That's not what corporate confession of sin is about. It's a scriptural practice where a pastor or a spiritual leader in the church would come and pray a thoughtful, articulate prayer on behalf of the congregation that would confess how we all commonly sin. And we're going to give some examples of that tonight. Mostly following the pattern and model of some Old Testament examples, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel. And believe it or not, in each of those three books, it's all chapter 9. I thought that's what's interesting. Last 2 weeks, I've been in Ezra, Nehemiah. I've been reading and studying Ezra, Nehemiah, and I've been praying and trying to apply some of these principles in my life. And then when I come to chapter 9 in Ezra, it just really spoke to me. And then I got to Nehemiah, and I came to Nehemiah chapter 9, and it just really spoke to me. I spent a couple days just praying through Nehemiah 9. And it led me to do some more research and study on it. And so as a result, we're here tonight with this message. I was reading as I was studying about it that there are churches that from time to time, periodically, because you know, like for example, this month is Thanksgiving. We're probably going to have a Thanksgiving prayer in our Thanksgiving service, a general prayer of Thanksgiving, a corporate prayer of Thanksgiving, thanking God for His blessings on us, thanking God for His salvation. So we understand that, but what about taking a service and having a prayer of confession? You don't hear much of that anymore in our day and time. But I read of churches taking the Ten Commandments or taking the Beatitudes, taking the Great Commission, different passages of Scripture like that, and praying through it and confessing to God. And I'll be giving some examples of that tonight. And in fact, I brought a book tonight. I'm going to read a prayer out of this book. It's prone to wander, and it's not Baptist people, but it's godly people, and prayers of confession and celebration. And they actually have two different books. This is the first one, and it's been really helpful to me to understand this concept of corporate confession more as I've studied the Bible. And so I'll be reading something out of here in just a moment. But I want to just say corporate confession is of sin. It is a public confession, but it's distinct from, as I said, personal confession of sin. As Justin preached, he preached about private confession of sin to God. That we don't have to you don't have to come to me, confess your private sin. You don't have to confess it before the church. You don't have to confess it to one another. You confess that sin to God. That's between you and God. However, there may be a situation, or let's say someone that their sin is public and it hurts the testimony of our church. that calls for discipline. In that case, the person can come and publicly confess their sin to the church. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of confession. I'm talking about a corporate confession in which a leader or pastor would lead the church in publicly confessing sins that we're guilty of. And I don't want you to think of prayers of confession as being gloomy prayers, because these prayers do not just remind us of our guilt as Christians, but it also points us to our great Savior, where forgiveness is found. You know, what's amazing when I look at these prayers of confession in Ezra and Nehemiah and Daniel, what's so amazing about it is that even when God's people rebel against Him, even when God's people sin against Him, God still lovingly pursues His people. And you know, I was listening to Brother Justin's message, and he was talking about how that we as Christians today treat sin so flippantly. We don't confess sin in private to God. We just generalize it. We treat it so flippant. And I wonder, I want you to listen to this. This is something that the Lord showed me today. I wonder if the reason why we treat sin flippantly as individual Christians is because as a church, we treat sin flippantly. Where is prayers of confession corporately? You know, I wonder, as Justin had said, that we can extinguish our spiritual passion when we don't confess sin. That's true, I think, not just as an individual Christian, but as a church. Maybe a church would lose its spiritual passion because we fail to model it as leaders in this church. And I'm thinking to myself as a pastor, if I don't model this confession before our church, how can people in the church learn to confess sin in private? If we take sin seriously as a church and we confess it to God, and we point to the cross, we point to Jesus as the solution, point to Jesus as where grace is found, where forgiveness is found, how are we going to help people in their private lives? You know, I think when we just pray positive prayers in church, we just pray prayers of thanksgiving, we just pray prayers of praise, we just pray prayers of request, asking God, but we pray no prayers of confession, I think something's wrong. I mean, we understand in private prayer, you know, all those different aspects of prayer. We pray, we understand praise in prayer, we understand thanksgiving in prayer, we understand intercession in prayer, we understand supplication in prayer, we understand confession of sin in prayer, but why not publicly? When we do, we're removing the heart of the gospel. You know, the gospel is about dealing with our sin. It's about confessing our sin and coming to Christ for cleansing and forgiveness. Let me give you in history, before we go to the Bible, a well-known corporate confession. In our history here in America, Abraham Lincoln signed on March 30th, 1863, a proclamation of a national day of prayer and fasting. I'm going to read it to you. This is a corporate prayer of confession. This is what it says. We have forgotten God. Notice it says we, not I. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, We have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness. That's an example of corporate confession. Confessing our nation's sins. Throughout this proclamation, President Lincoln used plural pronouns such as we and our, and mentions national sins. And the Americans who joined in that day of national prayer and humiliation were involved in this corporate confession of sin. Let's look at some scriptural examples. Start with 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is a very, very familiar verse. We hear it quoted in revival meetings in the subject of preaching on revival. You hear this verse often pointed to, but I want to tell you that this is part of the dedication of the temple here. And God appears to Solomon there in the temple, telling him that he had heard his prayer. I'm going to start in verse 13, and this is what the Lord told him. He said, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, will heal their land." You see what God is saying? You pray corporate prayer of confession as a nation. You turn back to me, I'll heal your land. You see, most of the time when we look at this verse, we look at it as an individual prayer. But if you study it closely, it's not an individual prayer, though we can apply it to our individual lives. It's a corporate prayer. It's a national prayer. Let's look at a New Testament example. I'm not going to use all Old Testament. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is part of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches how to pray. He gives us a model for praying. In verse 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." I want you to notice here that the Lord uses plural pronouns. First person plural pronouns. He doesn't use I or mine, but he uses us and our. He says, "Forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. I want you to go back to the Old Testament. I want you to. I'm going to look at some short verses, and then we're going to look at the long prayers. And I'm not sure Ezra 9 or Nehemiah 9, but first let's go to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. You know, there are many psalms that are penitential psalms. Most of them are individual. Speaking of individual confession of sin. But you'll find some once in a while. You'll find some that have corporate confession in them. And here's an example in Psalm 106. In verse 6, notice in this prayer, this psalm of prayer, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not in the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at even at the Red Sea. So I want you to notice here, we have sinned. You know the use of that plural pronoun, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. This is a corporate prayer confession here. And remember, these psalms were sang publicly. They were sang publicly. So they were singing this prayer of confession. Look at Jeremiah 3. There's a verse there in verse 25. Another example of this very thing we read in this psalm. Jeremiah 3:25 says, "We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." Those are examples of short prayers of corporate confession of sin. But I want you to now, let's just look at the one in Ezra. I really like the Nehemiah better, but it's long. And it'll take us a while to get through it. So let's go to Ezra. Ezra's is a little bit shorter prayer, but you'll get the idea. And I want you to take time, go home, and read Ezra 9, read Nehemiah 9, read Daniel 9. You read those three, you're going to see what corporate confession of sin is. But here in Ezra 9, what happened was these first five or four verses, Ezra had heard about some of the Levites. The priests had not separated themselves from the people of the lands, and it says in verse 1, "During according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, the Amorites." And it says, "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves, for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers had been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished till the evening sacrifice." Now look at verse 5. "And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God." Now, what I want you to understand here, this is the evening sacrifice. Ezra is a priest, a scribe, I mean. He's a scribe, a priest, that scribe, working at writing scripture and so on. And here at the evening sacrifice, we're talking about the temple, a public place. Here he is, on his knees, his hands spread out to God. We talked about postures of prayer last week. Here's with his hands raised up. He's on his knees before God. Let's look at what he said in verse 6. "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up into the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace had been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God had not forsaken us in our bondage, but had extended mercy unto us on the side of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land under which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. Now when Ezra, it says in chapter 10, had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. What's interesting, if you go on and read through this chapter, there's a little revival that took place. They made a covenant with their God to put away these strange wives. You know, this prayer, corporate prayer, a public confession of sin of God's people, brought revival. We will never experience revival without confession of sin. Whether it's individual or corporate, we'll never experience it. Here we have an example in the scriptures of corporate confession of sin. But how many of us are actually experienced that in our church going to church? Have we ever experienced anything like that? I don't know that I have. I know there have been times maybe that people have prayed, Lord, forgive us of this and that. But it was just random here and there. You find the same thing in Nehemiah 9, the same thing, a much longer prayer, but some very, very, very powerful truths in that prayer that, as Nehemiah is praying, going through the history of Israel and showing God's goodness to him and God's grace and how that Israel would rebel against God. And even though they rebelled and forsook him and hardened their necks, he forsook them not. I mean, that just blew me away. God did not forsake them. And he went on to say that he had a pillar of cloud by day to lead them, to guide them in the way. He had a pillar of fire by night to give them light, to show them where they should go. And as they went through the wilderness, they never lacked. He gave them manna. He gave them water. Their clothes did not wax old. Their shoes never waxed old. 40 years, they never wore their clothes out or their shoes. God cared for them, even though they were in rebellion. And Nehemiah praying that and praying, God, how good you are, how you never forsook us, but yet this is how we've been to you. We have forsaken you. We have sinned against you. You know, the phrase, "we have sinned," occurs many times on the lips of Old Testament saints. And as I showed you example in Psalms and Jeremiah, and we see here in Ezra, you'll see it in Nehemiah, you'll see it in Daniel chapter 9. I want to read something in here. I want you to, before I read it, I want you to turn to Luke 9. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. I want you to see an example of what a corporate prayer of confession would look like. And this is something that I'm praying about doing from time to time in our church, because I am praying for revival in our church. I am praying that God would do something in reviving us. And I think the only way we're going to get there is to do it the biblical, scriptural way. And here in Luke chapter 9, in verse 23 and 24, notice this, Jesus, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Now, this confession that I'm fixing to read to you is based on those two verses. So I want you to think about these two verses. He said to all, if we're going to come after him, we've got to deny ourselves. We have to take up the cross daily and follow him. Listen to this prayer of confession. Wonderful Savior, we thank you for your wondrous grace and love in bearing our sins in your own body on the cross. May your cross be to us the tree that sweetens every bitterness in our lives, the rod that blossoms with hope and beauty, the vine that connects us to you, the only source of all our strength. We have died with you, have risen with you, and are even now seated with you in the heavenly places. Yet we find that sin continues to have great power over us in our daily lives. Selfishness is in the very fabric of our flesh, and we struggle to choose love for others over pleasing ourselves. When we do manage to serve others, we often take pride in our own good conduct. Father, forgive us for the self-gratifying and the self-exalting lives we lead. Jesus, thank you for giving up the glory of heaven to please your Father and to rescue us. You denied yourself the adoration you deserved to enter a world full of people who would reject you. You willingly carried the enormous burden of our sinfulness and carried it throughout your life. You lived a life of self-denial and sacrificial love for others, always obeying your Father. We thank you for your radiant robe of righteousness that replaces the filthy and shredded rags of our attempts to be good. You took our sin to the cross and paid the full price we owed so that we could be free from bondage to sin and death and from our relentless self-worship. And we are so thankful for this immeasurable gift. Holy Spirit, we have been given a cross to carry before we wear the crown. We confess that self-love causes us to reproach that cross, and human reason leads us to run from it. Remind us that Jesus has carried that cross already for us, and he will surely carry it with us from day to day. Increase our joy in the cross of Christ, and our wonder and admiration for all that was accomplished there, until our hearts melt and our self-worship gives way to delight in our salvation. As true worship fills our souls, may we grow in the people who swiftly turn away from our own desires to love others as we have been so greatly loved. We pray in the name of our glorious Redeemer. Amen. Pretty powerful, huh? Amen. That's a prayer, corporate prayer of confession, based on Luke 9, 23 and 24. Confessing our common sins of putting self before Christ. Our common sins of not denying self and taking up the cross. That's an example of it, of what it would look like. You know, it also follows with some verses for assurance of pardon. And I like the one they, I'm not going to read all of them, but one of them is John 15:13. And that verse is very appropriate for today. It's often shared on Veterans Day, but it actually speaks of something even higher than that. But John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, how do we have assurance of forgiveness, of failing to measure up and denying ourselves, taking up our cross? Well, Christ laid his life down for us. He sacrificed himself for us. You know, when we confess our sins, we can have assurance he's going to forgive us, because he went all that way in sacrificing himself for us. So I want to ask this question as before we conclude. Why is corporate confession so important? And look in Isaiah 59. I believe Brother Justin shared this verse, but I want you to look at it in eyes, or in light of corporate, not just private, but in the light of corporate confession. Behold, Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, that applies to corporate sin. You know, we come short so often of what the Lord commands us to do in his word. I only read two verses, Luke 9:23 and 24. Man, that's pretty convicting to me. I don't know about you, but, you know, I could go back in my life and say all the things that I've done for Christ, but you know what? I still struggle with that. I still struggle. I can go back and say, well, you know, I took my family, we left and went to that mission field, went to a foreign country, but, you know, I still struggle today. He said, take up the cross daily. I struggle today. My flesh wants control. It's easy. You want to please yourself. But, you know, if we don't confess, you know, the Lord, his face is turned away from us. He hides his face. He will not hear us when we pray. You know, if we really as a church would experience revival, we got to have corporate confession of sin and private confession of sin. But why is corporate confession so important? Well, because it's a part of discipling believers in confession. Christians need to they need models of confession. They need examples to follow. And that's what corporate confession can do. When there's corporate confession, when a pastor or a spiritual leader, a deacon or something, comes up and he prays a corporate prayer of confession, it's helping the individual believers see how serious sin is, to see how important it is that we confess our sins to God. So it's like a discipling aspect. So that's why it's important. Number two, unbelievers, they need to hear our corporate confessions of sin. They need to hear the gospel applied, forgiveness applied. They need a hopeful example to follow. They need also to see that we are real. that we're not, Christians are not perfect people. You know, sometimes Christians can put off an air that, you know, we don't sin. We are good. We can be so judgmental of lost people because of their sin. And yet, then they see the hypocrisy in us. But if they come to our church and they see us confessing publicly our sins before God, there's transparency and there's like honesty, and they're like, wow, these people are genuine. These people are real. They're just like me. And these people have had peace because they confessed it and had forgiveness from God. Now they're rejoicing. Now they're celebrating. Now they're revived. You know, it's important for both our individual fellowship and our corporate holiness as a church to confess our sins. Now, let me just ask this question, and I'm going to close in prayer. If there's clearly a place for corporate confession in Scripture, then shouldn't it have a place in our church? Amen. You know, I was sharing some of these thoughts with Brother Justin. He said, well, why do you need to preach that to us? That's what you have to do. I threw it back at him. You're a deacon. Maybe I'll put you on it. Task next month. No. But I want you to think about this, how important it is. How important it is, because we take sin so lightly. We just, when we do, we can see it in our individual lives, how it affects us spiritually. We can see how it affects our spiritual passion. But I wonder now is if it's because we've not modeled it here at the church. We've not corporately modeled confession of sin. I tell you, my eyes are open. You know, I want revival. I've been praying for revival every day for months now. I've been praying, God, that you'd just revive our church. Lord, turn our hearts back to you. And now the Lord's showing me this. Another step, another discipline we need to practice. A discipline we need to practice as a church. And so when it comes time that the Lord leads to have one of these type of prayers, I want to encourage you to be thankful, to join in with it in that prayer, in that examination, because it's a biblical thing. I'm finding a lot of things that we don't do that's right here in this book. What we do is what we've done traditionally. Well, this is the way we have always done it. Well, do we have a revived church? Are we exploding in growth? Are we seeing souls saved every week? Are we seeing people sent to the mission field? Well, maybe something we're doing is wrong then. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe we need to look at these things. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in just, this is what we always do. This is how we always had church. This is the order of service. This is how many songs we sang. This is the kind of prayers we prayed. This is how we sang. We never raised our hands in singing. We never raised our hands in prayer. Well, it's in the Bible. It's biblical. We're afraid. Well, we don't want to be labeled charismatic, or we don't want to be labeled this or that. We don't want to be labeled. Why don't we just serve God from the heart? Love Him from our hearts. Seek after Him with all of our heart. Get serious about some of these disciplines so we can renew our passion, so we can put some fire in our souls You know, sin is what extinguishes that fire. I like how Brother Justin gave the illustration of a wall. It puts up that, it rebuilds that wall. And you know, if we've got that wall, God's hiding his face from our church. You can have the best preaching. We could invite some of the greatest evangelists to come and preach in this pulpit, and nothing's going to happen. People that get excited for one night, it'll last for about a week, and then we go right back to normal. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see a real revival. I don't want to just have a revival meeting. I would like to see real revival where people are confessing sins and people are getting right with God and people are surrendering their lives to the Lord and people are denying themselves and taking up their cross and souls are being added to the church and to the Lord because there's revival taking place because Holy Spirit comes down. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see something. There's nothing I can do. I can try to craft a message and preach it dynamically, but it ain't going to change nothing. Unless in your heart and in my heart, we're right with God. I want you to stand. Father, as I come before you tonight, Lord, I know the subject tonight is probably something that many have never thought about when they've read through some of those scripture passages and never thought about how that we do not even practice these things anymore. Lord, a lot of times our prayers, our public corporate prayers are just sometimes, sadly, they're just the same things that we pray over and over in vain repetition. Many times we're not even praying from our hearts and in sincerity. Lord, most of the time we pray positive prayers of praise and thanksgiving. We pray prayers of intercession, prayers of supplication. But Lord, we don't pray prayers of confession as a congregation. And Lord, I know that my eyes have been opened, and I know that that responsibility falls on my shoulders. And Lord, I confess my sin. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, that I have not seen this. I have not practiced this as a shepherd of this church. I have not modeled it from the pulpit here. But tonight, Lord, I want to change that. I want our church to be a biblical church, Lord. We are Bible Baptist Church, Lord. I want to follow the Bible. I want, Lord, revival. And Lord, like Ezra experienced in his day, like Nehemiah experienced, when sin was confessed and forsaken, people renewed their walk with you. There was a revival taking place because they grieved and mourned over their sins. Lord, we as a church, many times we've come short, Lord. We've not loved you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Lord, we've not always followed you. Lord, I think about the Great Commission tonight, Lord. I mean, Lord, we're making meager efforts, but Lord, I feel like we've come short of really accomplishing the Great Commission. Lord, we've sinned against you, Lord. We've let many lost people pass by us, and many lost people die and without Christ because we didn't reach out to them. We didn't share the gospel. We didn't have a burden. We didn't have compassion. We were too busy with ourselves and we didn't sacrifice and deny ourselves, Lord. Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, forgive us. Lord, help us as a church, Lord, that we can have a heart for you. and Lord, to have your heart for people. Lord, help us to be sensitive to sin in our lives. Help us to confess it, to get it right. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just turn us back to you. Do a work in our church, Lord. A work only you can do. O mighty Spirit of God, may you drive home this message to our hearts. The sin is not to be taken lightly. Lord, we need to deal with it. We need to fear you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that many have already come and prayed. Many, Lord, I pray that whatever the need might be tonight, Lord, there may be someone here that's not saved, unsure about their eternal life, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that they would come seeking help to be shown how they can have that assurance of salvation. Lord, we're asking that you would work during these next few moments of our invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.